Now I want to finish this section off on what not to do with reviews. And the reason for this is because you can overcorrect and assume that reviews are kind of the only way to go and panic and try to do some desperate moves or try to do too much too soon. I talked about the copy and pasting of several reviews. Amazon will shut all that down, and it's possible that they'll shut the entire book down if they think you're trying to game the system. So, three things not to do with reviews. Number one is don't buy them. As we're talking right now, and I'm certain that if you're watching this 1 year from recording, 2 years, 5 years from recording, there are going to be services on Fiverr, on Upwork, on Freelancer, on whatever platform exists that promise to deliver you a certain amount of reviews for a certain amount of money. And truth be told, they work for a little while because Amazon is now on the highest level of investigating these types of reviews. It is much more difficult to get any kind of review through now than it was 2 years ago, simply because of scams like these with, flocks of people being paid to not read the book but leave reviews. And you can see here Amazon wiped out 20,000 ratings when they discovered that a review was paid for. And so the strategy of buying reviews may seem super sexy and super attractive. It'll always catch up to you because Amazon hunts this stuff down and they farm it out. So skip the too good to be true deals. Stick to the slow and steady, the hard work that gets the reviews in. Secondly, and this is sort of a next level tip, we talked about getting your friends and family. Don't let them say they know you in the review. Amazon wants, and it seems, I know, and we're laughing, but you know Tim as well as I do. Your sweet Aunt Sherry is going to be like, my wonderful nephew has written the best book ever, 5 stars. And as wonderful as her heart is, Amazon will curb stomp her and leave her review hanging out to dry. Why? Because Amazon knows that unbiased reviews are more trusted than biased reviews. Therefore, if there is any indication that you are an editor of the book, that you are on the launch team for the book, if you're a marketer for the book, that you are related to the author, they're going to be very cautious about letting those reviews get published, right? So when you're getting those early reviews, when you're doing it from people who know you, make sure that they're evaluating the book and not talking about their relationship to you. And then finally, beware of the unsubstantiated claims. This has been a newish policy by Amazon due to some lawsuits that went through about a hoverboard. And all those years of lawsuits determined that Amazon could, in fact, be held liable for injuries that occurred on a hoverboard that they sold. And this was a pretty landmark shift in the case, but what it means is that Amazon is now extra wary of unsubstantiated claims, of promises that everything will be great and joyful. And they want to make sure that essentially nobody gets hurt and blames them. Like it's not a goodness thing. They just don't want to get sued again. So things like this book can make you $100,000 in the next year might be true. Amazon won't like it. Things like this book will help you find your soulmate might be true. Amazon won't like it. So whenever you're collecting reviews, and again, you only have limited control over this depending on who you're talking to, but you also want to be wary of them not being too bold with their claims about your book in order to, because it kind of torpedoes the review. And Amazon, again, more guarded than ever, they don't necessarily want to throw up all these reviews if they're not going to be true. Tim, does that make sense? Does that make you more or less nervous about collecting reviews?
I think it's okay. That's probably, you know, they're not going to scrutinize it too much. I'm just wondering though, how do I make a claim in either the book or the review without pushing it too far over the edge?
Yeah, 100%. So Amazon defines unsubstantiated claims as something that is not backed by a third party. We have a mutual friend who launched a book with the title How to Make $100 per month with micro stock images. So, you know, selling stock images. He couldn't run ads for the book because Amazon called that an unsubstantiated claim, even though it's been true in his experience, even though it's been true with people that he's worked with. They're very wary of stuff like that, of money. And so make money selling micro stock photos, that would work. Did that answer your question? I think that got close enough.
Yeah, I think that sounds fine. And it sounds like can and could as opposed to will and,
yeah,
you know, yeah, definitely will.
Yes.
It's probably better.
And as an author and as someone else who has seen clampdowns on clickbait and things like that, platforms are wary of things that may be true and may be proven. They want to see it backed up by someone with a name, or they want you to dumb it down for better or for worse. Finally, let's talk about bad reviews. I think it would be very easy to just say everyone gets bad reviews, get over it. But that's a little bit dismissive. On some level, of course, you're going to have to develop a thick skin, because the book that gets only 5-star reviews is not a book that's going very far. And as a matter of fact, I kind of did a little happy dance. I treated myself when I got my first 1-star review. Why? Because it meant that the book was finally moving beyond my friends and family and fans. Like, I had received so much exposure that someone didn't like what I had to say. And I'm not going to pretend that I was always okay with that, but in this scenario, I realized what it meant. It meant that I had gotten big enough to attract some bad reviews. Now, if you're getting 3 reviews, all 1-star, that say there are 75 typos in this book, it's terrible, don't buy it, you might want to address that. Ultimately, reviews are a chance to mine some feedback. If your book is fundamentally flawed, the customers are definitely going to tell you about it. But when it comes to the question, you know, what should we do with bad reviews? I think the question is, you know, the answer is let's ask Malcolm Gladwell. This is one of Malcolm Gladwell's books. Everyone who's watching this knows who he is. Legendary author in the space, wealthy, wise, has been possibly the most influential author of this century. And I'm looking at a book here that has 364 1-star ratings. If you get big enough, you're going to see the mudslinging happen. Because of the way Amazon is set up, you can't delete the 1-star reviews. You can't remove them. Of course, you want the most positive reviews possible, but in many ways, the bad review makes your book legitimate just as much as the good ones do. So at the end of the day, I think the goal should be seek out as many reviews as you can from people you know that love you first, and get that number up there, and then find the momentum. And when the 1-star reviews come in, and they will, ride that train and continue to publish, continue to write, continue to move forward. Tim, what are the big takeaways from this lesson? Let's wrap this up and answer any lingering concerns or questions.
Yeah, Todd, I think the other big takeaway for me is just that magic link. So not linking people to the book page, but linking them straight so they can write the review. It sounds like such a small hack, but I can tell you from experience, the moment you link something that isn't the direct action that you're wanting someone to take, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
And we've even seen this with people signing up for this course, that if we you know, link it to a website that links to a course that links to a checkout page, people don't have the bandwidth to get through that process. So you've got to make it easy for them.
Yep.
So that's probably the other big takeaway for me. Don't be afraid. And then just the last point was around the bad reviews. So I know with my content, the stuff that has a decent amount of bad comments or bad reviews actually does really well and makes a ton of money.
Right.
So I'm actually frustrated if I write something that gets no negative comments.
Yeah.
It means I didn't push the envelope. I didn't try hard enough. So for me, it's actually a metric. I want, you know, 25 to 30% of the comments to be like, Tim's an idiot. Tim doesn't know what he's doing. Because that'll lift the content. And yeah. It also means that fans will reply back to those people and be like, no, you're wrong. Yeah. Tim is this. Tim is that. And so, yeah, embrace the negativity.
Yep. I think that would be a big bullet point from this lesson. Embrace the negativity. Don't be afraid to ask people for reviews. And use the magic link to make it as easy as possible for people to leave good review. That's it for reviews, and Tim and I will see you in the next lesson.